Amen. Father, we thank you. We do thank you that there's a spirit of unity here, a spirit of truth, Lord, that your people desire to walk in the truth and in unity. Father, we realize that when we're united, great things can be accomplished. In your great prayer before your crucifixion, that they would be one, even as you were one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, we pray for Pastor John as he brings forth the word today. Let there be revelation, let there be impartation, and let there be a reception on our part. Father, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name, and we all said amen.
Amen. All right. So from the very beginning, God has always wanted a people he could call his own. Everybody should know that. I know we got into that a little bit on Wednesday night at our home meeting. He wanted a people that he could love, you know, and that would love him, and a people that could live together and work together and worship together, united in spirit, loving and serving God and one another. God, what he really wanted was he wanted a family. He wanted to build a family here out of us. And a family that was bound together in love with the ultimate goal of, you know, bringing forward or seeking the kingdom of God. And it's never been an easy job, and it never will be, because people have a tendency to do what they want, don't we? And not necessarily what God wants. But I have seen a lot of bright spots, and I've been fortunate enough to see a lot of those bright spots right here in this church. And over the years, I've seen many, many, many wonderful things, you know, and it seems just about every week, every time we meet, I see all kinds of people that are, you know, getting involved and setting up or cleaning or preparing or babysitting or cooking or teaching or, you know, working together in some way, you know, to honor that commitment of love to God and to one another. And it's a good thing. And because of that, people from this church and visitors and people from all around that have come in have been blessed. They've experienced the presence of God, and they've been blessed many, many times over the years. And when people come together united in purpose, God shows up. When we're doing that for God, he's going to be there. He's going to show up. We've seen that happen when we've been on mission trips or during VBS or during a Thursday afternoon Bible study, during Bible release time, cooking in the morning, women's, men's breakfast, women's advances, men's, all these different things. God shows up because his people are there united in purpose, loving and serving one another. And God gives us a great example of this in his word, where he calls his people to come together and to work on this great project that he wants to do. And he brings his people there to join together and work, and they do their part, and God shows up and brings his blessing. And it's in Exodus chapter 25, we find that God is instructing Moses in the building of his holy tabernacle, a sanctuary where God can dwell with his people. It starts in Exodus 25, verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, the hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you.'" So then God goes on to explain to Moses how to build this sanctuary. And he does it in great detail. I'm just going to give you a little sample just to show you how particular God was, how how he was involved in this. So he goes in Exodus 26, the next chapter, make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with cherubim worked into them by skilled craftsmen. All the curtains are to be the same size, 28 cubits long, 4 cubits wide. Join 5 of the curtains together and do the same with the other 5. Make loops of blue material along the edge of the end curtain in one set and do the same with the end curtain in the other set. Make 50 loops on one curtain and 50 loops on the other curtain of the other set, with the loops opposite of each other. Then make 50 gold clasps and use them to fasten the curtains together so that the tabernacle is a unit. See how involved he gets? And he tells them in verse 7, make the curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 together. And just like before, then he begins to explain how to do that with all the little intricate details. Next, he explains how to build the framework for the whole thing. And the instructions go on and on for a few chapters. And then God begins to name individual people that he has gifted with skills and filled with the Spirit to do the work. And doesn't that sound familiar? I mean, just last week I was talking about how God has given each one of us different skills, different abilities, different talents, and he puts his, you know, Spirit in us so that we can work and bring things together and build up a holy tabernacle. In Exodus 31, it says, talking about those individuals, it said, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill and ability and knowledge and all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan, to help him, and I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you. And then he goes on to list some of the things, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony with the atonement cover over it. And he goes on and he names all the furnishings in the temple. And then he says, they are to be made just as I commanded you. And then in chapter 35, God is calling even more people to be involved. All who are skilled, you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. Exodus 36, we find the people brought so much stuff, they got so into it, into this work, into this giant project of God's, into this beautiful temple they were making. They started bringing so much, God had to tell them, stop, we got too much. They brought too much, too many gifts, too many offerings, too much gold, too much silver. So God continues to give Moses instructions for everyone to follow so they could finish the work. And then in Moses himself puts the finishing touches on the tabernacle. And finally in chapter 40, verse 33, at the end it says, and so Moses finished the work. And then something happened. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. It was too much. It was overwhelming, the power of God. Everybody did their part. Everybody got involved. They gave their offerings. They gave their talents. They got so into it, they were given too much. They gave their time. They gave their heart. They did it all just as God wanted them. And they built their God a temple to dwell in. A place where, and today we would say, where the gospel could flourish, or the people of God could be. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Why did God even want to dwell? I mean, he makes his temple so he can dwell with them. Why did God want to dwell there on the earth? He wanted to be there because he wanted to be with them. Because he wanted a people, and God has so much love to give. He's such a loving God. He so desires a people to love, a people to bless, a family that he can work with, that he can love and bless. So he wanted to be right there with them. Don't you enjoy being with your family? When, you know, and when everybody in the family especially is in unity and all doing things together. So because they worked together, they got the temple built, the sanctuary was built, everything was done as commanded. God showed up and he poured out his blessing. And as Pastor Don already quoted a scripture, I have it right here. It says in Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. And then down in verse 3 it says, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. God looks, when his people get together, when his family comes together and they work together. You know, you get together for Christmas dinner, say, Easter dinner. Everybody's together. Everybody brings something and everybody's working and you have this wonderful meal and this good time together. And when everybody gets up and starts helping and cleaning and doing all the work and everybody's doing everything, yeah, we're all exhausted, but we all feel great because we just had family time. And it was good. No arguments, no fights, good time. Everybody helping, everybody working, everybody doing what they can do. Now, we're not going to be going back to that time and making a copy of the temple of, you know, that Moses built, the tabernacle. I actually saw that one time in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I saw an exact copy, a miniaturized version, but it was big enough for, you know, 100 people to go inside. And that was pretty cool. But that tabernacle, that sanctuary, that was for then. And God's doing something different in this day. In Ephesians 2, the second part of verse 19, it tells us that we are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. See, we're in his family. We're members of his household. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. And then it goes on to say in verse 21 and 22, a scripture that I read last week. And this is sort of a continuation of last week, a little bit before, a little bit after, all around it. And it says, in him, Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. See, at that time, God built a temple or a tabernacle. He had Moses and the people build a tabernacle or a sanctuary, he called it, where he could stay. Now, we are the stones. We are actually the living stones that God wants to build into something wonderful where he can live by his Spirit. And it all has to do with unity. When we work together like they did, that's where then God shows up. The title of my message today is Through Unity, God Shows Up and His Blessings Flow. So we're joined together in unity, and then when that happens, we get to experience something wonderful. Every time when you work together with people, something good happens. When it's all about God, I'm not talking about going to work and doing a secular job or something like that, but even that is good when people work together. When people actually work and function together, it can be fun, it can be good, a good teamwork, those kind of things. But when you're doing it for God, when you're building into eternity, when you're building the kingdom, it goes way beyond anything we could ever do on this earth. So God shows up and he pours out his blessing. And I think we all want to experience that kind of blessing, don't we? Don't you like the blessing of God in your life? Don't you want to be involved in something that allows you to then experience the majesty of God, the blessing of God, the love of God? That's why we're told in Ephesians 4:3 to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond. Because God knows that as we as we do that, as we work in unity together, as we grow together, as we function together, as we worship together, as we work in fellowship together, all these things, that great things are going to happen. God's going to show up. God's going to show up, and His blessing is going to be there. So as we learn to put aside then our own selfish interests, our own selfish ambitions, and we begin to work together to advance the kingdom of God, we experience then more and more and more of the presence of God. See, we all have a natural tendency, every one of us, we have a tendency to want to work at what will benefit us. That's just in us. That's always going to be in us. But God's trying to bring us to a different place, a deeper place, that in the river where we sang about, where we get caught up in serving God, where we get caught up in building what God wants to build, where we get caught up in building up one another. And it seems like by giving ourselves to that, we might lose some of what we wanted for ourselves. But the exact opposite is true. The more we give, the more we get. When we're just trying to get for ourselves, we're never, ever satisfied. But when we learn that it's the giving, and we give, we can't outgive God. We give, and God gives back. And it tells us He gives back to the point where it's like He presses it down, but it's still running over because He gives so much. Whenever we get together, it's like Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, where two or three come together in My name, there I will be with them. God's always trying to come up with ways to help bring us together. God is a God of unity. I mean, look at how God operates. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They all have their same, you know, they're the same. I mean, they're one and the same. They are God, but they each have their own function, their own personality, their own identity, but they have one purpose. If we want to experience the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, then we need to know that the greatest outpouring of that Spirit is going to come as we learn to walk together. There's something that happens in the spiritual realm when God's people connect and come together and begin working for God. There's an interplay there that goes on, that goes way beyond what an individual can do. The more people that come together, the more God gets involved. The more the Holy Spirit begins to flow. It tells us over and over in the Word. Because that's God's goal. That's His desire, is to see all things brought together in heaven and earth under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So we have to learn to come together with like-minded believers and join in the purpose of advancing the kingdom. Our focus needs to be on the eternal, not on this world. And I know there's plenty in this world that we have to take care of. And the physical world is fine. God made it. It's good. There's a lot of beauty here. There's a lot of wonderful things here. But the fact is this physical world is passing away. You know, I mean, everything in here, it says, in the world, is gradually fading. It's rotting, rusting. It just goes down. And God's given it to us for our enjoyment. You know, He wants us to enjoy this world because, you know, it's a good thing, but He never meant for us to tie ourselves to it, to abandon the spiritual realm so we can be so engrossed in the physical realm. That's where people make a mistake. That's where we sometimes get so hung up on the things of this world that we forget about the spiritual side. And of course, we can't even go to the other extreme where we don't want to get so heavenly-minded we're no earthly good, but that's usually not the case. Normally, it's exactly the opposite. Most people are so earthly-minded, we're no heavenly good. And God wants us to keep that focus on the spiritual. You know, that as we work together, even as we're living in this earthly plane, we work together, we accomplish things, we work together, we do things. And then we see but we see that it's for this greater spiritual good, the kingdom of God. And then as we work in that unity, the presence of God just begins to show up. And the power of God becomes evident, and the blessing of God begins to be poured out. In 1 John 2:15, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world." That's what I was just talking about. "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." See, what we do for God is eternal. The things we're building into the kingdom are eternal. The value that we create, the things that we do out of love, a love for God and one another, there's an eternal preciousness, an eternal value of those things. Where when we're, you know, just doing our natural things, when we cut the grass, there's no eternal value in that. It looks nice. It's something we need to do. Oh, there's so many things we do that, but we don't tie our whole life to that, to those things. We live in the world, but we're not of the world, remember. So we have this calling on our life that God has brought, this purpose, a calling to be, to become this people of God. God's always wanted a people, and He still wants a people today. And a people that He can call His own, a people that know they're of God. And I believe right now He's looking at you. He's looking right here, right today, and He's saying, "These are who I want for my people." And we have to take that personally and say, God wants me. It's not just the church. It's not this church. It's not the church, the whole universal church. It's not those people over there. It's not him next to me. It's not my wife or my husband. It's me. God's calling you to be his people, one of his people, and to gather together with the others that he's put you in relationship with, to be a people. And you know who you are. Because I know God has a call on us. And I know there are people in here, many people in here, if not most people in here, who at one time have told God, "God, I want to do your will. God, I want you to use me. I want to be there. I want to live for you. How many people have said those kind of things? Have you guys done that? You've asked God, "God, use me. I give myself to you, Lord. I want to be one of yours. I want to be there for you. I want to do what you want me to do." Any version of that, what you're saying is, "I want to be part of this people that you desire, that you love." So now, if we're one of God's people, we're part of His people, we need to let God use us as He sees fit. Each one of us has our part to play. And sometimes it's just a matter of showing up. Just, you know, sometimes even just coming to the thing that God has called us to do, we may not know what we're going to do, we may not think we got anything to add, and we get in there and then God uses us. And then by coming regularly, before you know it, someone says, "Hey, could you maybe help out with this?" And then before you know it, that turns into something else and into something else. And before you know it, that's how I started. Here I am. It all started by showing up. And every one of us are going to have different areas, different callings, sometimes some overlapping, some similar. But it starts by just showing up, just by being there, by making ourselves available. Lord, here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, send me. We have to trust God. God's the one who created us. He knows when, where, how, why, how He's going to use us. He knows all that stuff. But first, he needs a willing person, a willing, available people. And God's designed each one of us uniquely. We know that. And he has designed the perfect vehicle to move us from point A to point B, where we can grow, where we can be established, where we can, you know, begin to learn how to serve God more and more, and a place that we can work in, a place that we can work through, we can work for, to be able to serve him and build his kingdom. And that perfect vehicle is the thing that Jesus himself said, I will build it. He has his own assembly line up just like Pole Town, right, or something where, you know, we build vehicles. Well, God has built a vehicle on this earth to accomplish his goal, and it's called the church. And it's his body. And he says, I'll build it. So he's building it. He's the one, and we just have to come in and make ourselves available, and then he's going to draw us and call us out. He's going to make us, you know, call, eventually get involved here, get involved there, and be committed to what he's doing. This is what's important. I will build my church. You know what he hates to see? And I can't imagine, I was thinking of this last night, that Jesus hates to see his body fractured, splintered, divided, weakened, torn up. It hit me last night. I was thinking of how he was on the cross. And when he looked down at his own body and saw that it was ripped to shreds, falling apart, bloody and beaten, I began to see that's how the church is in our country right now. And he looks down and he sees his church. And it breaks his heart. He wants to work in a church, in his church, where there's love, where there's unity, where there's people who want to work together, but people who also want to live by his word, who want to honor his word. People who will walk and be led by his spirit. That's why oftentimes when people come in here, I've had many people tell me, and you've heard this before, I've had people tell me many, many times, that when they just walked in the doors, they sensed the presence of God. They felt the power of God. They something touched them. They felt the unity of the Spirit, because we're those living stones that are being built together where God can build that building, that dwelling, and then his presence, the Holy Spirit, will flow amongst us. And that unity, where people are together like that, when we're functioning and working together, that's the greatest witness, the greatest testimony to the reality of Jesus that most people will ever see. That's why we find the presence of God wherever there is a strong unity. So we might ask ourselves, well, how can my little ability, how can my, you know, little bit of whatever, my small part, my small sacrifice, make any difference? And again, that's where we have to trust the all-knowing wisdom of God. Because we don't compare ourselves with other people. We trust God to give us our part to do. And when we stand before God on that last day, he's not going to say, well, how come you didn't do his job? How come you weren't more like him? He's going to say, did you do your job? Hopefully, instead, he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. When you did whatever it was, whether great in the eyes of men or small in the eyes of men, that doesn't make any difference. The only thing that really matters is that we did what God created us to do, what he called us to do. We should never judge ourselves according to other people. We judge ourselves according to God's word. And then God begins to birth in us this purpose, His purpose and His will that we've been talking about. He begins to share it with us. And then He puts us in a body where it gets drawn out of us as we work and function together. We start to get pulled out. Hey, can you do this for me? You think you might be able to do that? Maybe one day you could do this. And we start thinking, well, maybe I could. I don't know if I can or not. Sure, we can show you how to do that. And before we realize, we're getting built up in this beautiful temple. Pastor Don was telling me about this temple the other day. Where's that temple at? No, a church, I mean. A church. Where's that at? In Spain or something? Or Barcelona. Barcelona, Spain. It's been being built for 150 years, I think, or something like that. 150 years they're building this temple. And it's still not done. And there's some people that have dedicated their whole lives to it. And maybe they were just handcrafting a pillar. Who knows what they were doing. But they're all giving their part. And that's sort of how, you know, when God's building us together, we have our part to play. And sometimes the things that we do, the things that we accomplish, we're not always going to see immediate benefit, or we're not going to have immediate gratification. But as we're serving God and doing what He's called us to do, obeying His word, obeying the Spirit of God, that's what counts. Because we're building into eternity. We're building for eternity. And that's where this is how we find our purpose. This is how we begin to function in our calling and in our purpose. And then because of that, we begin to have a peace in us and a joy within us. And the blessing of God begins to be poured out on us because we're working in our calling. We're functioning. We're giving. We're part of what God is doing. And great things are happening. And then the presence of God shows up. God, people begin to sense His presence. People walk in and something's happening here. I feel something different in those people, in that church, during that worship, during that word, during that fellowship. Wherever it is, whatever part it is, in that meeting, that God just, something, it really grabs hold of me. We got people, Carolyn's told me many times about the difference. There's different ladies that don't even go to our church, but they come out to these different meetings that the ladies have. And some of them come year after year after year. They have their own church, but they feel drawn to come to some of these different things. Because why? I mean, because God's there. Because they sense a unity there, a unity of purpose, a unity in God, a unity among the women in that case. Maybe it could be among whatever group we're talking about. And they want to be a part of that. Some of them don't quite feel right, maybe leaving their church, but they want to step out over here and get a blessing. The blessing of God. And I feel fortunate that we're here. We get to experience a lot of that all the time. So that's what God was showing me in the building of the tabernacle of Moses, that everybody did their part there when we were talking about that tabernacle. And then when it was finished, the glory of the Lord filled that temple. And God showed up. His blessing came. And now He's doing it here. Doing it here today. He's building you. And He's building me into something really special. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." We have to step outside of ourselves. In true unity, there's no fear, there's no jealousy, there's no selfish ambition. There's no striving. In fact, the more that we allow ourselves to be humbled and broken and open towards one another, the more God's Spirit can move. Remember, in our weakness is His strength. That's the way God works. If we're acting powerfully and like we got it all together, pride, God's not going to move. He looks at us and He goes, well, they seem to be doing fine themselves. Go ahead and do it. We're not really doing fine then. In unity, it's a unity in Christ where we fix our eyes on Jesus and we're brought along on this amazing journey. Romans 15:5 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest testimony that we can give this world about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is unity. They'll know we are Christians by our love. We used to sing that song ages ago. John 17:23, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me, the prayer of Jesus, and have loved them even as you have loved me. We can bring the Father great pleasure by certainly loving Him, but by loving one another. By being united with one another, by worshiping Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving one another. Being a people He can call His own. That's unity. And that's where we will find God and His blessing. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. That's where the blessings will flow. Let's pray. Actually, let's do something a little bit different. Grab somebody's hand. Let's pray together. Yeah, grab anybody's hand. We're going to do a simple little prayer. A little different. Just follow after me. Dear Father, bless this person abundantly. Help me to love them, to serve them, and to walk together with them in unity all the days of my life. I want to honor you, Lord, as we live and work together to bless you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Father, I just want to pray your blessing, Lord God, upon this body, Lord. Pour out your Spirit here, Lord God. And, you know, the more we try, I keep getting from God, the more we personally, when we try to build that unity, the more you do things to try to build the body together, God's going to bless you. You're going to get blessed. As you think of ways, as you do things, whatever you do to try to be that, I always call it the mortar that holds those stones together. You're going to be blessed. So, Lord, I pray that that blessing would be poured out here abundantly, Lord God, upon your people, that we would truly be the people that you desire, Lord God, that your blessing, your power, your Holy Spirit, your anointing would flow here at Downriver Christian Community Church, Lord, all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Come on up and get some prayer.